Is realizing the full value of your network just a dream? Intel is bringing AI everywhere, building solutions to help modernize and monetize 5G infrastructure, making it possible for telecommunications providers to expand services and drive efficiency by reducing costs and saving energy. The next wave of networks starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.
It can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Prognosis. I'm Laura Carlson. It's day 69 since coronavirus was declared a global pandemic. Our main story? Scientists have determined that the virus first showed up in bats in southern China. But just how it jumped from bats to humans isn't yet clear. That uncertainty has allowed conspiracy theories to bubble up, some of them promoted at the highest levels of government. But first, here's what happened today. U.S. President Donald Trump threatened to withdraw altogether from the World Health Organization. If he made good on the threat, it would leave Chinese leader Xi Jinping as leader of the global fight against the pandemic. Trump posted a four-page letter detailing his grievances with the WHO to Twitter late last night. In the letter, he called on the group to demonstrate independence from China. He gave no other details about the reforms he was seeking or what specific changes might unlock funding. Researchers from the Korean Centers for Disease Control and Prevention are finding evidence that even though some patients have tested positive for the coronavirus after recovering, those people aren't capable of transmitting the infection. That's a positive sign for regions looking to open up as more patients recover. It suggests those who have recovered from COVID-19 present no risk of spreading the coronavirus. Finally, the U.S. and Canada will keep their borders shut to non-essential travel for another month. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau and President Donald Trump announced the extension of the border closure to June 21st at separate events in Ottawa and Washington. The agreement to restrict travel between the two countries, which has been in place since March 21st, was due to expire this week.
Osage County, Oklahoma is getting a lot of attention right now. It's the setting of Martin Scorsese's latest film, Killers of the Flower Moon. The movie is based on a book about the 1920s Osage murders, when white men poured into Osage County and killed Osage people for their oil wealth. I'm Rachel Adams Hurd, the host of In Trust, a podcast from Bloomberg and iHeartMedia. For over a year, I was reporting a different story about other ways white people got Osage land and wealth, and how a prominent ranching family in Osage County became one of the biggest landowners here. Their ranching empire was built on land that at the turn of the century was all owned by the Osage Nation. So how'd they get it? Listen to the award-winning podcast, In Trust, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now, our main story. The internet has been teeming with theories, some of them pretty wild, about the origin of the coronavirus. Scientists have been saying for more than 3 months now that the coronavirus most likely originated in a species of bat found in the south of China and managed to somehow jump into people. But alternative explanations have been floated. U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo has repeatedly blamed China, and specifically a laboratory in Wuhan that was researching dangerous viruses. Bloomberg senior editor Jason Gale talked to a World Health Organization scientist to tease out the most plausible explanation for for where the virus came from.
How and where the SARS-CoV-2 virus emerged isn't known. Scientists have a rough idea, but pinpointing the exact way the virus came to spread in humans is crucial for preventing it from happening again. Dr. Peter Ben Emmerich is a scientist with the WHO in Geneva who has investigated the source of numerous outbreaks, including bird flu and the coronavirus that causes Middle Eastern respiratory syndrome. I asked Peter, what proof exists to demonstrate the genesis of the virus that causes COVID-19?
We know that it's closely related to a group of other coronaviruses that have their origin in bat populations. So that's why we're talking about this bat link or bat origin. What we know is that in previous similar events, these bat coronaviruses, before they jump to humans, first adapt in another animal species that is more closely related to humans and with whom humans have more regular contacts, which is allowing that time and space that is needed for the virus to adapt to humans. So we have some kind of a missing link in that story between the original bat origin of the virus and when it started to circulate in humans.
Many of the first cases in Wuhan were linked to a massive seafood and fresh produce market in the city. It's like a farmer's market. In Asia, they're called wet markets. This particular market sold a variety of animals, including some wild ones, that shoppers could buy live and have prepared ready for cooking. When SARS, or severe acute respiratory syndrome, emerged almost 20 years ago, it's thought to have originated in bats and jumped into civets, a small, lean, mostly nocturnal mammal, before crossing the species barrier a second time and infecting humans. Wet markets in southern China were implicated in the emergence of SARS, so it was reasoned the Wuhan market is where SARS-CoV-2 might have begun. Now the evidence suggests that COVID cases occurred before there was a definite link to the market. The market might just have been a place where the virus was amplified and spread readily among stallholders and shoppers, and the people with whom they lived. With the market theory in doubt, alternative explanations have circulated. One is that the coronavirus was created in a Wuhan lab, where it was either deployed as a bioweapon or accidentally escaped into the community. One of the reasons that theory has gained traction is that the Wuhan Institute of Virology has a so-called BSL-4, or Maximum Biocontainment Facility, where it studies some of the planet's most dangerous pathogens, including coronaviruses.
The BSL-4 laboratory in Wuhan is well known for its research on these viruses, on bat viruses, coronaviruses originating in bat. They have done so. They are famous in a way for that work and for improving our understanding of coronaviruses and the relation with bat and their evolution over time.
Peter and I spoke over Zoom on May 7. I wanted him to explain the alleged circumstantial evidence linking the lab with the outbreak.
What evidence is there that the virus might be synthetic, might be man-made? What evidence exists for that?
None. To give you a clear answer, I haven't seen a single piece of evidence that would indicate a hint towards a man-made constructed virus.
Peter says scientists who have studied the genetic sequences of the coronavirus in detail all agree that the virus is natural and has not been cooked up in a lab.
And the reason for why they are so clear in their conclusions is that if it was a constructed virus, we would recognize or see the bits and pieces that were used to construct this virus. So it's a little bit like constructing a car with Lego bricks. You would recognize the different bricks at the end.
Another reason is that the protein the virus uses to enter our cells and cause an infection in our lungs is unique. It's different from the one that the SARS virus used back in 2003 and hadn't been previously described.
If we talk about science fiction, everything is possible. And if somebody had constructed this virus and had been able to avoid all these counter-arguments I just put forward, that would have been a genius and somebody light years ahead of everybody else in this field. So again, no strong arguments at all for a man-made version.
Scientists are able to look at the mutations that occur each time the virus replicates to gauge the period in which it began circulating in humans. Peter says around October, November is when it started to adapt and infect people. Tracing the virus back to its roots means finding the earliest cases and determining where and how they might have been infected. Right now, there's nothing to determine how the virus got from bats into people and if another mammal acted as an intermediate host and what that animal might have been. But some intriguing signs are emerging from cats.
So far, we've studied several animal species to see how susceptible they are to this virus and whether they could be playing a role in the event. And cats and felines seems to be a species that is both susceptible to the virus, and so they can get sick, but they can also transmit the disease to other cats. And then the big question is, can an infected cat also transmit it to humans? And could they have been playing a role at the start of this event? That remains to be seen. But it's a possibility that is being explored. But it also shows the importance of protecting our pets and protecting animals in the same way that we protect humans when we have a confirmed case of COVID, that person should be isolated, and both family members and colleagues and also pets or animals in connection in close contact with this person should also be protected. So we avoid creating another reservoir for this virus in different animal population.
The pandemic has identified some gaps in our understanding of the pathogens lurking in nature. That's especially the case at the human-animal interface, where viruses risk crossing the species barrier and spreading among people. Peter says we can fill some of those gaps through better surveillance and traceability of farmed animals. He also says that regardless of whether the wet market in Wuhan was where the first person was infected, we need to improve these kinds of food markets.
Around the world, we have a lot of markets where people have a tradition to purchasing live animals that are then slaughtered on the spot or nearby. And these practices, unfortunately, are often done with in poor hygienic conditions and with unnecessary close contact between the public and the sellers and the animals. Where animal species are mixed together and kept in cages for a long time. And all that gives, of course, these viruses much better chances to adapt and to jump and to infect humans than if hygiene and safety and traceability and surveillance and so on were in place and well enforced. So it's important to keep these markets, but it's equally important to improve them and make them safe and hygienic.
If the current crisis has taught us anything, it's that as human populations expand and encroach on wildlife habitats, the risk from dangerous animal viruses continues to grow. And in an interconnected world, epidemics that were previously localized can race around the globe with blinding speed. It means everyone, everywhere, has a stake in doing whatever we can to mitigate this threat.
That was Jason Gale in Melbourne. And that's our show today. For coverage of the outbreak from 120 bureaus around the world, visit Bloomberg.com/coronavirus. And if you like the show, please leave us a review and a rating on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. It's the best way to help more listeners find our global reporting. The Prognosis Daily Edition is produced by Topher Forges, Jordan Gaspure, Magnus Henriksen, and me, Laura Carlson. Today's main story was reported by Jason Gale. Original music by Leo Sidran. Our editors are Francesca Levy and Rick Schein. Francesca Levy is Bloomberg's head of podcasts. Thanks for listening.
Do you love Elon Musk? Do you hate Elon Musk? Do you have no idea what to think about Elon Musk? Then we have just the show for you.
He's become even more larger than life.
Buying Twitter doesn't get us closer to Mars.
They are like really close to the edge of like everything falling apart.
Like, oh, Elon, I volunteer, put a chip in my brain.
Each week on this podcast, we'll break down, analyze, and debate the most important stories on Musk and his empire.
It's all one big universe. You just work for Elon Inc.
From Bloomberg Businessweek, this is Elon Inc. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.